talking in this series about the Holy Spirit. This morning we're going to talk about the hearing the voice of God, experiencing the guidance of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now I know that when we talk about some of these things in church, some of you get a little uneasy. You don't really know how you feel about this, about hearing God's voice. It seems a little supernatural to you. It maybe even seems a little weird to some of you. Some of you maybe are newer to the church, have been coming to church. You read and you hear about God, and you know that God supposedly speaks to us. But we have to admit that some of us, and maybe all of us, have not laid eyes on God. We sing about this Jesus who rose from the dead, and we are free. And some of us, you know, we understand that, and it's pretty deep down in us what that means. But there's some parts of our understanding about God, this being led by the Spirit. We think about this, and even this guidance of the Holy Spirit, what does that really mean? We wrestle with that. And yet, it's something that we just understand. But if we want to go to weird a little bit, I mean, people who are not part of the church, it seems weird for them to think that we take a little piece of bread and we pass it around. Or we take an elf-sized cup of grape juice and we eat it together. And that seems weird for some too. But in the context of what we believe as Christians, it is absolutely essential. And it's so special. And it's so part of who we are in Christ. And we believe in a God, maybe it's weird for some people, believe a God who died and rose again. And so all the things that we talk about in church sometimes doesn't make sense for some people, and others have understood it completely. But we seem to have a disconnect sometimes when we talk about why not believe a God that can walk and talk with us. We try to understand this being led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And I know it's difficult. And if you know, for me, I got an iPhone here years ago. And, you know, these iPhones, I'm not a techie person, okay? So this might not even work this morning, but I'm not a techie person. I'm not into a lot of apps, okay? I'll fumble through technology. I have to have one of my children kind of help me reboot this thing and get it figured out when I get lost. But I have to admit, there's one thing on the iPhone that I have kind of like, and that is Siri. Do you know how many times I use Siri? I use Siri quite a bit. It seems nice to just ask Siri to kind of help me and lead me, to ask me, hey, how do I get to this place, Siri? What about this? It's so nice when anyone asks you any questions anymore, and you say, I don't know, let me just ask Siri. And so this morning, I'm going to ask Siri something. We'll see what happens. I'm going to ask Siri, not about the score of the game last night, not about the weather, but what's neat about Siri is some of these programmers in Apple have come up with all kinds of ways to answer questions that people have. So let's try one here. Siri, what is 0 divided by 0?
Imagine that you have 0 cookies and you split them evenly among 0 friends. How many cookies does each person get? See, it doesn't make sense. And Cookie Monster is sad that there are no cookies. And you are sad that you have no friends.
I mean, you know, you just never know what you're going to get when you ask Siri, okay? I mean, I could ask Lamar what is 0 divided by 0. I could have. And I'm pretty sure I probably wouldn't have got the same answer as I did with Siri. But what is amazing is long before we had Siri, long before we had GPS, God knew that we needed instruction. He knew that we needed wisdom. And so in John 16:13, we hear these words. It says, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all the truth. When the Spirit of truth comes, I will send my Spirit. I will lead you into all truth. And so we understand, as we've been going through this series, this Spirit of God has come. in Acts 2, this empowerment of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we don't understand how this always works. And so sometimes we need to look at some practical things to get a hold of this. You see, I understand that when God says something, you know, we don't like it. Lynn, this is God. And you know, when he calls at times and we don't want him to actually call because maybe we don't want to hear what he might have to say. Or we might not like the answer. Or there's this thing going on in our life that we don't want to really talk about. But what God says about his Spirit and his purpose is this. He says, I believe that God sent his Spirit to meet us where we are at this moment. To help us to realize that we have in the Spirit of the living God living in us. And that is so amazing. It's so beautiful. And you think back to the Old Testament. And the Spirit of God was only spoken at certain times, in certain contexts, to certain people. You think about the tabernacle and the temple. You had to be born in the right tribe, the Levites, to even for the possibility to become a priest. And then maybe you worked your way up and you maybe became a high priest. And maybe, just maybe, it worked out that at one moment in time, you became the high priest that once a year went into the Holy of the Holies to hear the Spirit of God. Now, can you imagine that scene? One person going in to the Holy of Holies, and there's everyone else outside waiting to hear what the high priest will come out to say, what the Spirit of God said to him and to them. And then we have this amazing thing where Jesus shows up, and he's the embodiment of the voice of God. And what Jesus says is this. Jesus says, I only say what the Father says. I only do what the Father says for me to do. And Jesus says, I am the fulfillment of this. And then Jesus does something else. And then he says, well, you know what? I'm the fulfillment of this, but very soon. And it's even good for me to leave. So all of you can experience the Spirit of God. It's hard for them to understand at that time what that meant. And so I want us to look at back to chapter 1 in Acts, which is one chapter back before Acts 2, when the Spirit of the living God came, to have a visual picture of how different it was before the Holy Spirit shows up in the lives of all of us. In Acts 1, it was after the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it was after the ascension of Jesus, but it was before the Spirit comes. And we have this moment in time in Acts 1, 23 to 26, when we know that Judas betrayed Jesus, and they're down to 11 disciples. And what they have left is Matthias and Barsabbas. And then they were trying to figure out, who are they going to bring on to make 12 disciples? And so in chapter 1, verse 23, it says this. So they proposed to two men, Joseph called Barsabbas, also known as Justus, and Matthias. Then they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which one of these two you have chosen to take over this apostolic ministry, which Judas left to go to where he belongs. Then they cast lots, and the lot fell to Matthias, so he was added to the 11 apostles. Now you're asking, well, Lynn, why you bring this up? Why are you bringing up about casting of lots? I mean, casting of lots is in our DNA going way back in the Mennonite church. I mean, many of you grew up and understood that when you called a leader, you cast lots. Many times with a Bible, and you would open different Bibles and figure out what that might look like. But back in those days, you would take a stick or stones with different markings and put them in a container or a bag or a jar, shake them up, and then you would find out where the cast or the lot would fall. Now, I know today that still some Mennonite churches use this cast system to call people. But you know what I found out is really interesting? That when the Holy Spirit showed up in Acts 2, we don't hear any more about the casting of lots. No more. No more that I can see a casting up of lots. And you wonder why? It's because the Holy Spirit shows up. Now it's not a guessing game. Now we don't have to figure out who has the Holy Spirit and who doesn't. Everyone has the Holy Spirit within them. And they can actually talk to God, and God can actually talk to us. But I know it's still confusing. You say, I know this voice of God, Lynn. What does this all mean? I mean, I don't know if I really hear from God. So many times we talk about it and say, well, maybe it's just me talking. Or maybe it's just my wishful thinking. And so this morning I want to give three very practical ways in how we can hear the voice of God in our lives. And the first one is this: to live a life walking closely with God. See, I believe there's no substitution for intimacy. We have a God who wants to share his heart and his mind with us. Isn't that incredible? He wants to share his heart and mind with you and with me. Now, if you've ever been in a relationship, you know there's no substitution for intimacy. Now, I remember when I started dating Dawn, it was not love at first sight for either one of us. But we started to get to know each other. And we were starting to figure things out. You know, what's your favorite color? What do you like? What kind of food do you like? And we started getting to know each other. And more. And I remember those late night, nope, not by cell phones, those late night phone calls when Dawn would say to me, oh, Lynn, I missed you. Well, at least I think she said that. I'm not sure. Okay. But we got to know each other. And you know, we'd call and say, hey, I miss you. And come on, you guys remember those days, right? You remember them. Okay, those days where we got to know each other, there's this intimacy. And you know, you learn about the person. And when I married Dawn, I thought I really knew her. I really did. And then I found out, well, maybe I don't know her that well. And I found that out quickly on our honeymoon. Now, I'm not giving you all the details, but on our honeymoon, this. I thought, well, you know, we're going on our honeymoon, and, you know, I'm trying to be thrifty on a Caribbean vacation. You can't blame me. Trying to be thrifty. So I decided that without telling her that we're going to have two meals per day. Okay? And so we had the first meal, and then she's waiting for lunch, and I'm not waiting for lunch, and we're just going on and doing things. And all at once she said, when are we getting lunch? I was like, no, we're having two meals today. What? She looked at me like I was from Mars. No, we eat three meals a day. See, I thought I knew her, but I didn't really know her as well as I thought. I realized that the more I got to know her, the more intimate I was with her, the more I understood her and knew her better. And you see, when we get into God's Word, we get to know Him better. We can hear Him much better. We don't have to wait for a special message from God. We don't have to wait for that one little rainbow to come out to say, oh, that must be from God. You see, sometimes you don't even have to go to God for certain things. Because we're in rhythm with God. Does that make sense? We're in rhythm with Him. We know His Word. We know what's happening in life. We keep reading more about what God calls and things He does in our lives. And we don't have to pray about everything because we spend time with Him. And we know Him. And what robs intimacy many times is rebellion and sin and different priorities. And then we say, well, I don't know where God's at. I can't hear the voice of God. You see, what I realized is this, that God doesn't change His posture towards us. We change our posture towards God. And when something happens and we confess sin and things go in our lives, we want to run to the heart of God. But many times we don't because we don't know what He's going to say. See, what I've come to realize is this, is not what we do or do not do does not change God's love for us. But it tends to change our posture. And then the second thing. Not only living a life walking close with God, but are we asking God to continuously speak to us? Are we asking Him to, Lord, speak to me. You see, one of the things that we need to realize is His Spirit will not contradict His Word. And so when we have these impressions, these things that come in our hearts and our minds, and these impressions, then we say, do we know Him? See, it's sort of like, I didn't know Dawn well enough that you don't want to skip a meal. How do I know her? You see, later on then, after that experience, I didn't need to pray about whether I needed two meals or three meals a day. I know her. And I think it's the same way. We don't have to pray about certain things. Sometimes they say, well, the voice of God has not told me this. Well, let me tell you where the voice of God might not tell you. If you have a neighbor that you need to be speaking to and befriending and coming to them, and you say, I don't know if I should really share with them anything about Jesus or just be a friend of them, let me just pray about this. Can I just tell you, you don't need to pray about that. It's in God's Word. He says to go into all the nations, to be a light, to be a witness. And then other times, when you're thinking about different things in life, and you think about, well, you know, should I give to this cause? Should I give to that? You see, we say, well, let me just think if I hear, I didn't hear the Word of God. A rainbow did not come out today about that. And we end up waiting for some special message. And when we don't get that special message, we say, God must not be speaking to us. I did not hear the voice of God. See, sometimes we ask questions that we already have the answers to. And the reason we have the answers is because we know Him. We hear from Him and we understand Him. So let me give you a practical way you can do that here over the next 30 days. I would like you to ask the Spirit to teach me something, to show me something. And so I have a challenge for you to do this next 30 days. Each month there's like 30 to 31 days in a month. And what's really neat is Proverbs has 31 Proverbs. Here's what I'd like you to do. Here's putting flesh on what I'm saying this morning. So today is November 13. So today I would open up to Proverbs 13. And I would read Proverbs 13. And I would ask the Spirit to show me and to teach me something. And this is what I have discovered. When you ask the Spirit to give you something or to a voice or a verse that comes to your mind, I would like you, and this is a challenge, I would like you to watch God show you something during that day based on that scripture. And you say, oh. And you can say, well, Lynn, that seems hocus-pocus sometimes. I'm not sure about all that. But see, that's the issue. Let the Spirit of the living God teach you something. And the easy way to get started is just take the day, today, November 13th, and read Proverbs 13, and then wait and watch and listen for ways that might impact you. You see, I'm a big believer that expectation drives our experiences. You see, I think of the Holy Spirit a lot of times like a radio. Okay? When you have the radio turned off, is it still broadcasting? Yes, it's still broadcasting, right? Yeah, the radio turned off, but it's still broadcasting. And the only way you know what's going on is when you turn on the radio and you hear. And I think that's sometimes with us. You see, God is always broadcasting. But we need to tune in to hear what He has to say. Now, let me make this perfectly clear this morning. I have never, ever heard an audible voice from God. I have never heard Him say, hey, Lynn, I want you to do this. I've never heard that. But I have heard this. I have heard things have come to my mind. Things have kind of come to my heart. There's been impressions that have come upon me. things that have helped me to kind of feel like I need to do this, things that make me wonder, is this from God or is this not? And so many times we talk ourselves out of things that we hear. And then finally, the third thing is to test every impression to get every way it can. Test every impression every way you can. You see, you always ask the question, what if it's not from God? What if it's just bad pizza or bad sushi? And you kind of have weird thoughts and things go in your head. You're not alone. But he's asking you to test it. And the first way you test it is, does it line up with his word? Does it line up with wise counsel? Who can you go to validate that, to test it? And I would say, go to someone who you know is in the scriptures and understanding God's word. Now I see these impressions can get, you know, messed up. And I remember, and now don't tell anyone outside this room, but I'm going to tell you my time back in high school, out of high school into college, my dating times. And this is what happens. We can do this all the time. I saw this one girl, and I prayed, God, is she the one? Is she the one, God? And I'll tell you what, my impression was she was the one. Okay? Until about 2 weeks later, this other gal showed up, and I'm like, no, God, I think she's the one. And we pray about it, and we wonder about it, and we say, is she the one? Is he the one? You see, we can confuse the voice of God with giving ourselves permission or doing what is on our hearts versus what God is calling us to do. And so I would say that when we hear the voice of God, it first of all has to line up with some foundation. Oh, it can be radical, and things happen. It can be very radical what God might be calling us to do. But it will line up with some foundation and some wisdom. And so to conclude, I want to go with this. I know that hearing the voice of God makes some of you a little nervous, anxious. You say, well, I never heard the voice of God. I don't even know what that looks like. I read the Bible, but I don't know when God talks to me. I don't know whether it's his word or someone else's word. And sometimes what we do then is we just kind of pull back in and don't take risks and just say, because I'm not sure, I'm not going to do it. So I think it's a little bit like this. When our children were getting ready to walk, they were fun times, weren't they? Getting ready to walk, you know. And I'm going to pick on my daughter here today because she's here. Why not, right? I remember, and I might get choked up, but I remember my beautiful little daughter who had blonde curly hair, kissy cheeks, big, okay, and chubby legs. That's what she was, a little baby, and she was the cutest thing ever. And I remember when she was getting ready to walk, and we put her up, and those chubby legs and those sweet cheeks were just looking. And I remember we get down on our hands and knees and say, Lizzie, come, come. And she'd be holding on to the couch. Say, Lizzie, come. And she'd take that one chubby leg, would go, and I'm like, this isn't going to work. Okay, come on. And she'd do it. And she'd take one step, and then you could see her chubby cheeks just kind of open up with a smile. She's like, okay, this is, okay. And then she'd wobble, and I'm thinking, oh, come on, you could do it, Lizzie, come. And another one, she takes another step. And then when she takes that two steps, and she's there, I remember, and all at once she fell flat down. And I'm like, no, come here. I went over, picked her up, hugged her. Lizzie, you're doing so good. You can do this. Go back up there. Put her back up and watch her. She goes, and she steadies herself, and she starts taking a step after step after step. You see, what I realize about hearing the voice of God is exactly like that. You have to be able to take a step. And when you take a step, and you don't know what that step is going to be like, and sometimes you fall flat down. But see, God is there to pick you up and to say, it's okay, you can hear my voice. And then I realize that you take one step, and then you take another step, and soon you're walking, and soon you're running. See, that's the picture I have for hearing the voice of God, the Spirit of the living God inside of us, that we can go to Him. But I have to tell you, if you want to hear the voice of God, you got to take a step. And you might fall down. And you might doubt, is this really God's word? Is this really what God is calling us to do? Test it out. Check it out. Ask people. See, the worst thing could have happened is when Lizzie took that first step and two and then fell down and said, you know what, Lizzie? I'm sorry, girl, but you're just not going to walk. Here, put you up here and we'll take care of you the rest of our lives. You don't need to walk again. No. It takes risk. It involves things. And so my prayer for this church is that we continue to take one step. And we take one step, another step, and then soon we walk and soon we run. And we are attuned to God's voice in our lives. Just think what would happen if all of us would continue to take His word seriously. And that His Spirit would move through this congregation. And we together can hear God's voice. What a wonderful place that would be. Let us pray. Lord, you left us, you left heaven to show us yourself. And then after you showed us yourself, you sent your Spirit for all of us. You prepared us a way. And I pray, Lord, that we would eagerly and hungrily yearn for your Spirit that resides in us. That we can receive guidance. We can grow in intimacy with you. We can test. And we can continue to think about. And Lord, I pray that many of us would continue to test what we believe and what we hear. That we would know your voice. And we would hear that voice of God leading us in every day for the rest of our lives. We pray this today in the name of our beautiful Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and the Spirit of the living God sent by the Father. Amen.